Oh, look at that. Another Wednesday, another open mic. Too bad. Nobody pushes the little message button and reads into the thing. So I guess it's just me and a fucking boatload of Teletubbies. I'm just checking the mic and turning the lights on and waking Jill up. Because she sleeps here now. Alright. So it's 7... What? Geez. 7:10. It's early, early. Alright, I'll be back in 5 minutes. I'm gonna... It's none of your business what I'm gonna do, but taking Jill with me. Hello, this is 7:15, right? Wednesday? Alright, I guess we're at 13. Did you guys all enjoy Valentine's Day? I see there are no couples at any tables here. Zero couples. Zero couples. Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed the stupid Valentine bonus half episode. Anyway, it looks like chapter 5 of Macmillan is really short. I'll just record it real quick, real fast. So, alright, so it's 7:15. Hello, welcome to the Cormorant Cafe. This is open mic night. You know what, I'm just going to let Jennifer do all the introductions. Here she is, right now.
From an undisclosed location in the Nevada desert, this is Jennifer Morenci of WTF Radio. Welcome to Open Mic Night at the Cormorant Cafe, with your master of ceremonies and master of debates, Rob. My teddy bears were stolen by a... From somewhere near hot Vegas, where the temperature tops 80 degrees in February, and we won't talk about bottoms, this is Jennifer Morenci with WTF, the show that tries to answer its own question. As our host might say, you can call me Bob, or you can call me Rob, or you can call me Robert, or you can call me Robbie, but just don't call me Lauren Bobbert. I wonder how many of you are old enough to remember the old commercial, you can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me RJ. But you doesn't have to call me Johnson. When I was a kid, I thought that was the funniest thing. So Robert's intro made it sound like my teddy bears were stolen by an effing goat. So my collection of Teletubbies was stolen by an auctioneer that my roommate had invited to our place to look for stuff to sell. I kept my Teletubbies in an unassuming plastic bag, and I found the empty plastic bag in the living room, right after the auctioneer had left the house. I don't care much for goats or otters, despite their popularity on Twitter. At one time, there was a fad on right-wing Twitter for hedgehogs. Lauren Southern, a self-professed Canadian libertarian, had a pet hedgehog which appeared with her in a lot of videos. Then the whole Milo thing happened, and she sort of dropped off Twitter as far as I know. So I'm a libertarian, but a libertarian leftist. That means I'm actually a small government leftist. I think the function of government should be to protect consumers and workers from large corporations and monopolies. I support a social welfare state, if you could call it that. I favor the ideas of universal healthcare, minimum guaranteed income, and utility regulation for the internet. Sex work is work, and the Second Amendment is an individual right that belongs to private citizens against the state. Both a conservative and a liberal case can be made for all of those things. although I don't really want to discuss it just now. You can read my blog, if you really want to know. Thank you all for being such a great audience tonight. If you'd like to tip your hostess, my donation links is v.gd/jenmor. My Twitter is at Jennifer Morency, with an I.
Wait, Jennifer, you have a blog? The hell have I been? You know, I can put links in the show notes. Like, you know, your blog. Just saying.
Alright, so chapter 5 is short. It's called This Place is Dangerous. I don't know if I have to tell you this, because I presume you wouldn't be listening to episode 13 unless you're a regular listener. Especially since there's like me and maybe one other person. Hey Dave. Just kidding. If you're Dave though, hey Dave. Alright, so what I should say, in case you've dropped in on me unexpectedly, for some reason jumping on 13, you should probably listen to episode 9, then 10, then 11, and for our purposes, you can skip the Valentine, that's 12, and then you can come back here 13, because these are parts 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the preview for the Macmillan the Magician book. You got that? Good. This place is dangerous. Alright, so this is chapter 5 of Macmillan the Magician, chapter title, This Place is Dangerous, and the little super title is This What They Do With Their Dead? Alright, part 1, The Ranch House. Jeez, I can't read, it's really, really small. It had been several days since Merlin had awoken and attempted to communicate with the man he had found. The man he had revived. They split up almost immediately. Merlin had his own project, and the undead man was probably going home. Merlin had wanted to go along. He desperately needed information about these colonists, if that's what they were. Given the apparent state of their technology, they were perhaps, like him, castaways doing the best they could. Sorry. Together with the computer, he'd been working on a method to communicate with the native population. You know, were he to encounter any more of them. From the information gathered, he assumed he could capture stray electrical impulses from their brains. It seemed to him, and the escape pod's computer did not have anything to contradict the notion, those creatures were large mammals and, as such, leaked brainwaves like a sieve. He only hoped it was true, because learning their language would, otherwise, be more troublesome. But he continued on his previous project of discovering what he could of the fate of his final shipmate, the werewolf policeman who'd probably been sabotaging them for over a century, and had killed his crew, and, at least he hoped, himself. Sometimes he fantasized about catching that dog and bringing him to heel before finally pummeling it into a paste and setting fire to the paste and then pissing on the ashes. Although, if the fucker thought he and the crew were dead, the ship destroyed, and lived to report back, then he'd be free. Stranded, but free. Now, it's really small font. I don't know why. I think it has something to do with the way PDFs are presented in this Kindle. Anyway, sorry. Next paragraph. Now he was back to the scene where he'd encountered the other sentient creature he'd seen since his so-called landing, and he tracked the man and himself to where they'd parted ways, and he was walking along a path which led to a surprisingly old-fashioned, almost rudimentary house where the ground was beginning to level off. South a few kilometers of the mountain range where he'd crash-landed in. How many days had it been? A while ago. He got to the door and scratched, like you do, until the man himself opened it. He, the other, took Merlin's hand, and Merlin was able to attach his two metal sensors. Merlin was able to attach his two mental sensors. He heard a sharp click and a bit of a crack and felt pressure on his back. The noise continued. He slumped against the door. He slumped against the door. The frame the door had been in, and eventually fell to the floor. He had a vague notion of being dragged into the house, and then he was unconscious. That's the end of part one. Okay, part two. It's called The Dark. Merlin awoke. Damn, it's really hard to read. Hold on, let me see if I can change the brightness or something. Oh, there we go. Ah, here we go. Okay, part two, The Dark. Merlin awoke. He was conscious. The air was still. He couldn't tell if he was blind or if it was dark. He'd vague memories of a ceremony attended by many creatures similar to the rancher. This rancher was a word he'd learned before it went dark, so perhaps the machine worked. He tried to lift his arm to his forehead to call the computer, but he was stuck or something. Two, his legs hurt. They were bent at an odd angle, and he was wearing clothes of a sort, but itchy and constrictive nature of a... I'll just start this part. Two, his legs hurt. They were bent at an odd angle, and he was wearing clothes of a soft but itchy and constrictive nature. He learned that his arms weren't stuck. He was in some kind of enclosed box. He shifted uncomfortably and was able to get his hand close to his face. The computer didn't respond. Computer? He tapped the implant. Computer? Nothing. He took a deep breath of the dead air and lost consciousness again. He awoke in pain. Time had passed. Somehow he knew this. His breathing was quite shallow. The air was dead in more than the metaphorical sense. Trapped? Trapped. Trapped? Trapped? He flicked a finger against the side of this world, and there was a little bit of an echo. The top, that is, above his head, gave him less or even maybe no echo. The bottom, the same, behind him. He learned it was actually down, less than no echo. And the same with in front, the up, and to his other side. He decided his best chance of escape would be to attempt to break the enclosure to the side with the echo. Fortunately, he was able to get the box. It had a little cushioning inside, but nothing dramatic, and certainly nothing comfortable, to bow slightly, and felt resistance from outside the box. He easily splintered the box with the nails of his left... He easily splintered the box with the nails of his less sore hand and skillfully punched through it. Dirt fell and began to fill the space he'd opened. He felt it slightly cool on his hand, on his wrist. He mustered the strength and pulled toward his feet, loosening and with a crack breaking a large board. He pushed this board out and broke another so he could squeeze his body into the space next to the wooden box prison. He found loose soil and dug and dug. He used the pieces of wood he'd liberated from the side of the box, and he felt fresh air upon his face and was able to breathe. Two beeps. Merlin? Where did you go? Computer, I was underground. Under the ground, Merlin. Yes, this place is dangerous. He finished excavating himself, started to remove the clothes after his foot broken in parts in order to fit it into a shoe of sorts. It gave him great pain. He was free and retrieved his other foot from the ground and shed the toe that encased it as well. He hobbled away on his broken feet, leaning awkwardly. What? Okay, he hobbled away on his broken feet, leaning awkwardly against his hand. The supplies he'd retrieved before were nowhere around, and hadn't been in the underground prison either. His skin began to feel cold, and with a cough, he fell down, he assured himself. But instead, he molted and lost consciousness again. Later, much later it seemed to him, he awoke. He was in sunlight, laying upon his own skin, sloughed off before. He felt younger, of course, needless perhaps to say. Merlin stretched. He gave a moment's thought to actually taking or burying his shed skin, but decided He gave a moment's thought to actually taking or burying his shed skin, but decided that it would disintegrate rapidly enough, so wasn't worth the trouble. Merlin heard voices. That's the end of part two. Alright, so chapter 5, part 3 is called The Party. Alright, God, everything's an ordeal. Adelaide, you stay. I'm gonna turn these off so they can shut up. Ow! Everything's an ordeal. Alright. Okay, chapter 5. Macmillan the Magician, preview, chapter 5, part 3, The Party. He made himself transparent and walked back to where he'd been buried in time to find a small party of people coming up the hill. They were heading to his location, and for a moment, he thought they actually saw him. He stayed perfectly still. He stayed perfectly still nonetheless, and they ignored him. these humans were chattering, that he could at least comprehend, broadly speaking, the rancher's thoughts. I guess this represents what he's interpreting the rancher. Okay, so they thought he was dead, and now they were spooked because the burial site, the grave, had been disturbed. So this brutal horror of an underground prison is what they do with their dead? One of the group left and came back with shovels, not much different from the one he'd seen earlier, broader perhaps, and more people. But before this, the rancher had discovered Merlin's prior outer coating, his dead skin. The rancher's reaction suggested that it was alien, somehow very different, maybe too large. The rancher had returned to the gravesite. He hadn't mentioned the skin. The younger fellow had returned by now, and the males were hard at work digging up the box. No, the grave. He slipped away and took care of his dead skin. He had to stay somewhat close to get the proper vibrations to see the images from the rancher's mind. But if he was too close, they'd see him, or kill him again, probably. There was great commotion when the party discovered the grave was empty. They had a conference, and he wasn't exactly able to follow the conversation, but they apparently decided to return the grave to its prior condition, minus his body, and this is what they did. The rancher suddenly remembered the lizard skin and went back, but he couldn't find it. He had a bundle of the black and white clothes that Merlin had found himself wearing when he woke up. The rancher picked up the other shoe, he was already holding one of them, and returned to the group. Merlin rubbed the back of his neck. Somehow he knew he'd made a mistake. Okay, that's the end of chapter 5, and that's obviously the end of that part. Okay, well, I think there's one chapter left, and I guess we'll do that next week, maybe, if I don't get struck by lightning or hit by a car, or any of a million other things that can happen to me. I don't know. I hope you guys are enjoying it enough to go buy my other novel, which is called Tisman, The Last Blade Hunter. There's a link to my Amazon author page. You'll find the book there. Kindle and physical versions are available. That's all I'm gonna say. Although, if you don't know I wrote a book, then I'm a little shocked that you found your way here. Alright, let me see. We did Jennifer's Teletubbies thing. We did my book read. Ugh, Jesus, it's really short. Alright, I'll figure something out. Alright, I'll be right back. Oh god, this looks like it's going to be embarrassingly short. Alright, I'm going to search for a few things. I've been planning on reading the Where the Sidewalk Ends, Shel Silverstein poem since I started this podcast thing, so I'll do that now. I don't know, 20 minutes seems even shorter. It's even shorter than Sunday's bonus episode. Jeez. You have a long chapter, and you record for an hour or whatever, and then you have a short chapter, and you record for 20 minutes. Hey, okay, so Shel Silverstein, Where the Sidewalk Ends, that'll come up in a few seconds. Okay. Where the Sidewalk Ends by Shel Silverstein. I just don't want to put it on my screen. Here it is. There's a place where the sidewalk ends, and before the street begins, and there the grass grows soft and white, and there the sun burns crimson bright, and there the moonbird rests from his flight to cool in the peppermint wind. Let us leave this place where the smoke blows black and the dark street winds and bends, past the pits where the asphalt flowers grow. We shall walk with a walk that is measured and slow, and watch where the chalk white arrows go to the place where the sidewalk ends. Yes, we'll walk with a walk that is measured and slow, and we'll go where the chalk white arrows go for the children and this phone. What are you trying to protect me from? Yes, we'll walk with a walk that's measured and slow, and we'll go where the chalk white arrows go, and the children they mark, and the children they know, the place where the sidewalk ends. That's all. We really need to figure out something to do so that we can at least have half an hour. Alright, well, I guess I just have to deal with this 30 minutes only episode. Nobody volunteered me any text to read or alternatively dropped me off any files. Just me, Jennifer, and a bunch of goats. Alright, well, this has been... I'm sorry, I guess it's over. That's alright, you probably wanted to drink your coffee in peace. Alright, well, this has been the open mic night at the Cormorant Cafe. Jill is still over there with her 25-cent peanut butter and jelly quarters. And a coffee, which I've contributed your $2 to improve. And let me see. Obviously, Morency is still... I don't know, I think she crashed the van into something and now she's in the market for another one. And let me see, obviously I am just sitting here with the doggy. Sup doggy? Where's my girl? Where's my girl? Ah, she's keeping me warm. Alright, well, this has been the open mic night at the Cormorant Cafe. I've been Rob, you heard Jennifer Morency. I'll put appropriate links into the show notes. I guess she has a blog. I'll ask her if she wants me to share that. Let me see. I want to say, don't forget to tip your barista. I usually want to say the mic is open, but technically the mic is closed because the episode is over. All right. Enjoy your goats. This place is dangerous.
I am reality's whore!
This place is dangerous.